So let me start off by asking, does anybody here make New Year's resolutions? None of you? That's awesome. That's awesome and it's good. Wait a minute, do we have a couple?
Yeah, I
did. Okay, it's terrible news for you. Because about 90% are going to fail in the first month. Just wanted you to know that. So, you know, I asked Tony earlier before the service if he made New Year's resolutions and he said no. And usually when he made his mind to do something, he just did it. So, you know, I don't make New Year's resolutions. I make resolutions. I resolve to do things differently, and I make them all year. Usually right after I've been caught making a huge mistake. Anybody relate to that?
Amen.
So why do people make New Year's resolutions? They make them because they need something new. They make them because they think something needs to be changed. They make them because something is going on that they think needs to be gone out of their life. And they make these resolutions to do something different. We're going to start this morning, and my title of my message today is A New Year and a Newer You. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, which says, He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." You know, this is the time of the year, a year for newness, time of year when things, you know, are new for all of us. You know, there's a lot new about me today. Can you tell what it is? I'm wearing a new shirt. I'm wearing a new jacket. I'm wearing a new watch. See? So a lot of things are new. Why? Because we just celebrated Christmas. And I bet a lot of you are wearing some new stuff this morning, aren't you? Who's wearing something new? A lot of us. See? So there's newness doesn't always start at the first of the year. Sometimes it starts in the middle of the year. And for a lot of us, it started at Christmas. A lot of us got a lot of new stuff. Maybe you got, like I said, a new watch, a new jacket, a new coat, new shoes. Maybe one of you ladies got a new ring or a new necklace. But what happens right after we get all this new stuff? We get new stuff again. I got good news for you people who liked what you got on Christmas. You're about to get some new stuff again. Because a lot of the stuff you got didn't fit. And you're going to have to return it and get some new stuff. So it's like it never ends. You know, I know for a fact I'm going to get some new underwear next week. Because the peck I got last week did not fit.
They were too big?
They were too big, yeah. I don't know if I did. I can't win on that one. Wow. See, sometimes you set yourself up for failure. So right after Christmas, we get new stuff again. You know, there's a lot new in our life. You know, we have a new grandbaby. And I can tell you that is probably the coolest thing I got all year. And I think that it's only going to be topped by the new grandbaby that we're going to have in May. Because we're going to have number two. That's pretty awesome. So God gives us new things all the time. Now, you know, there was a guy at a New Year's Eve party, and he made a New Year's resolution. And he said to a friend of his, he said, "Hey, can I have a cigarette?" And the guy said, as he pulled it out of his pocket, "Well, sure, but I thought you made a New Year's resolution to quit." He said, "I did, but this is phase one." And he said, "What's phase one?" He goes, "Well, that's where I quit buying them." You see, isn't that really how it works? The problem is that a lot of times we want change, but we're not willing to do what's necessary to actually bring about new change. As I said earlier, statistically, 90% of all New Year's resolutions fail in the first month. However, if given the opportunity, I bet every single one of us could find something that we'd like to change. Amen? Anybody here got something new that you need or want? Anybody here got something you want rid of and get something to replace it? Sure, there's all the time, because there's always going to be room for improvement. I meant to ask this question in the beginning, but I'm going to go back now. So, Tony, I got a question for you. What do you do when you start off on a new journey? What's the first thing you do? He doesn't know. It stumps him.
That's how I feel.
But you know what? I bet Pastor Willie knows. Pastor Willie, what's the first thing you do when you start off on a new journey?
Put on your seatbelt.
Amen.
Okay. That's good.
I actually searched last week. I was going to try to go buy like a seatbelt and bring and attach it to your chair. Then I thought about it and I thought, well, the truth is it probably needs to be in my chair, all of us. So the point to that is just simply let's put on our seatbelt, because I think we're all about to go on a new journey this year, and God's going to do some amazing things, and you better just hold on to your seat. It may not be things that you recognize immediately as the kind of change that you were hoping for, but I promise you some things are about to change. You know, for some of us, like me, change is necessary, and it's in an obvious way. That was meant to be funny, by the way. I'm glad you didn't laugh. You know, in our text this morning, I started by saying, behold, I make all things new. You know, he says, I make all things new. And what that does is that tells us that it doesn't matter what your past is like. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you've done, or even where you're going. God is going to make all things new. It reminds me of Romans chapter 10, verse 13, which is a really, everybody knows Romans chapter 10, 9. You know, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's a beautiful verse, and I like it a lot, because it gives me hope. But I like Romans 10, 13 a little better, because for guys like me who've been to the bottom and back, what it says very simply is everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done. If you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And that should be something we should be saying amen to, because that's good news. New beginnings. You know, I heard something the other day that kind of surprised me, and you know, it was about the idea of the most popular time of year for people to propose marriage. Anybody here guess what day it is?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's. It's the first one I thought of. I thought, well, Valentine's Day, surely. But it's not. So then I thought, well, what woman doesn't like a new ring on Christmas morning? Maybe it's Christmas. But it's not. It's actually New Year's. New Year's is the most popular day to pop the question. This week, I don't really do Facebook very often, but my wife showed me some pictures on Facebook where our middle son had taken his girlfriend. They'd gone to Florida the day after Christmas, and it was a picture of him on his knee proposing. And she said, yes. So now we got an addition to the family. And so, you know, it just surprised me to find out that that is the biggest day of the year for wedding proposals. Because, I would have thought it would have been Christmas. But I guess that's just, you know, my way of thinking. You know, when I think about it, what better time of year to plan a new life with a person that you want to spend the rest of your life with? What better time of year to plan a wedding? But my question is for those of us who've already been proposed to or made the proposal, accepted it, got married. So for those of you who are in here this morning who are married, after about 3 years of marriage, were you still as excited? Some said no right away. Jim is the smartest man in the building because he raised his hand as high as he could. You know, as much as I hate to admit it, that's just not my story. You know, I will tell you that when Jana and I got married, I absolutely wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. I knew that this is the woman I want to die old with. But at about year three, I just wanted one of us to die. And to be honest with you, I wasn't all that picky. But you know, we were blessed. We were truly blessed. We were blessed in the fact that you know, through necessity and God's guidance, we were placed in the good hands of a therapist, a counselor who we met with for, I don't know how long, a couple, two, 3 years even. And I'll tell you that, you know what, that was a good thing for us. Because at about year three, we needed something new. See, you know, just because something is new and it's pretty and it's perfect doesn't mean that over time it doesn't need to be renewed. You know, I shared with the band this morning that I got a new computer. I'm not bragging. I'm actually pretty sad about it because I got it out of necessity. Because my old one fell apart. It just crapped out on me. I didn't know if I should use that word. It just, all of a sudden, it wasn't new anymore. And so I took it back, and of course they couldn't fix it, and I'm forced to get a new one. You know, sometimes things need to be renewed. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning, is new beginnings. You know, the idea that New Year's is a new time. It's a time that we can really begin again. It's the time of year when people make resolutions of all sorts. But for those of us who are believers in Christ, it can be a new day every day. Christ's mercies are new every day. You know, when I first got saved, I became a new creation. But you know what? That old creation creeped back in over time. Anybody ever experienced that where you're in this new walk with Christ and you're doing all the things that you feel God wants you to do and you're called to do, but somehow things change and you kind of slip back into the old way again? And I'll tell you that happened for me. And there's been several times along the way that I've had to renew and redouble my spiritual efforts. There's been times when, you know, the funny thing is I saw a video this morning and it was about like the top 10 resolutions that people make. And it was a very, kind of a neat ending. What happened was the one person says, well, I'm going to renew my spiritual efforts in reading God's word on a more regular basis. I'm going to renew my prayer time. I'm going to redouble my prayer time. I'm going to double down on my time with God. And then they show a couple others talk about theirs, and they come back to the same guy, and he's reading the same exact ones. And he goes, oh, wait a minute. That's the same stuff I resolved to do last year. How many of us resolve to do something different, start out on a new path, but just kind of slides away, just fails, just doesn't really work, you know? The great thing about our relationship with Christ is that regardless at any point, we can be new again. We can go back to Christ in our relationship with him, and he does not hold our past against us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Keyword, all things become new. You know, when you enter into a relationship with Christ, anyone who is in Christ becomes new. And what it's saying is, regardless of your past, regardless of what you've done, no matter how many times you've failed, or no matter how many times you've sinned, your slate can be wiped clean. You know, how many people here need a new slate? Be honest with yourself. You know, I say this not at all to be judgmental, but we know statistics. Things like that are solid statistics. Things like 50% of the men in church today are looking at pornography. That's a horrible statistic, but it's true.
68%.
So it's worse. 68%. 68%. And I think a couple of years ago it was like 35% of the women were looking at pornography. So not to bring up that whole thing, but just to make the point that, you know what? In the church, there is a call for something new. There's a reason for us to do something different. You know, we need to do something different. And it's not that there are people in the church that are just bad people. There are bad people in church. Anybody believe that?
Amen.
There are people who come here for reasons not of what we would want them to be here for. But the truth is not everybody who slips up, messes up, falls down, and stumbles doesn't make them a bad person. You know what? We live in a sinful, fallen, broken world. Amen. Where sin is abound. It's everywhere you look. And you are not, regardless of how much you might want to be, You are not exempt from falling into sin again. The word very plainly says for all men have sinned, all men fall short of the glory of God. So let me ask you, are you included in the word all? I certainly know I am. You know, this simply means that God's not going to hold your past against you. No matter how good your past is, no matter how bad your past is, you can have a new beginning in Christ. Now, this is not to say that when you can have something new, that it's like Clark Kent stepping into a phone book and stepping out Superman. I promise you the change that God's going to make in your life is going to be as powerful, but it may not look quite like that. Let me go to my next verse. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must, by the way, the word must means have to. Doesn't give you an option. You must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off to the old self, excuse me, with its practices, and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of its creator. You know, is that a comfortable verse? Is there anybody in here who's brave enough to say that's not a comfortable verse for me? I want to tell you, there was a, maybe I'm just different than most Christians because, you know, it just wasn't that easy for me. See, in the very beginning, I loved God and I loved him with my whole heart. But there was a part of me that still wanted to live in that old self, that still wanted to do those old things. You know, change doesn't just come because I want it. It comes because I'm willing to take the actions necessary to produce it. It doesn't come just because I want to change. You know, in the very beginning, I can tell you, you know what? I read that verse, and that wasn't one I wanted to do a Bible study on. It wasn't one I wanted to stand up and preach on. You know, in the beginning, it was a little bit different for me. And I know that God is love, and when you experience God's love, it's amazing, and it changes you immediately, and it changes you forever, and it's undeniable. And I know that, and I believe that. But guess what? There's a sinful part of our nature that wants to resist everything that God is about. Sometimes new beginnings don't come as easy as we'd like them to. Then a few verses down, we see the new person that he calls us to look like. In verses 12 through 14, it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Anybody get that one perfectly? I don't. Everybody, you know, it's sometimes this is about practice, not perfection. Do we agree with that?
Amen.
You know, I would love to stand here and say that, you know what? What qualifies me to stand up here on Sunday morning is that I got it, and I got it right the first time. However, that would be quite a lie. You know, this is something we have to work at. You know, my wife and I have a relationship where we really, truly know each other intimately because we spend time together. You know, I share with the girls at the prison all the time. I say, you know what? If all you do is get up in the morning and do a 45-second prayer to God and get up, put on your shoes and run and go do your thing, what kind of relationship are you going to have with God? Very superficial. Not going to know very much about one another. Not going to be any true intimacy. See, true intimacy is gained when we get to know one another. When we truly get to know one another. And that's done by spending time with one another. And the more I spend time with God, the more I want to be like God. The more objectionable these things become in me, and the more I no longer want them. Goes on to tell us in the next verses 15 through 17, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, this word rule is a little bit different than we see. It's only used one time in all of Scripture. This word rule is a little bit different. It's not like the rule that we see of a king ruling over his people. It's more like the rule we see of a referee. You know, you see the referee, he tries to keep the game going in an orderly fashion, tries to make sure nobody steps out of bounds, tries to make sure that everybody kind of plays the right way. And that's what he's saying here, is let Christ rule, let him referee, let him guide you, let him teach you, let him lead you. It's more than about let him rule over you with a hard thumb. It's about letting him guide you. Simply put, let God rule in your heart. Be thankful. Get into God's word by reading it and applying it. You know, there was a Bible, my first Bible was the NIV Recovery Bible. And what's really awesome about that Bible is it showed you a practical application. You know, it's a lot different when I just tell somebody, be righteous. I don't know what that looks like. But when God leads you and guides you, he can show you how to live a righteous life. So simply put, let him rule in your heart. As in verse 17, it says we should commit everything that we do or say to him and give thanks to God for all of his good gifts. You know, there's nothing wrong with a gym membership. There's nothing wrong with getting fit. There's nothing wrong with losing weight. There's nothing wrong with making resolutions to change these things in our life that we know need to be changed. I don't think God planned on me being 260 pounds. And I think honor him, I could probably lose some weight. But that's not the kind of change he wants to create in my life today. The kind of change he wants to create in my life today is who I am and the things that I do as well, but it's about who I am. So the idea of new starts. You know, I heard a story of a kid who called his parents for New Year's, and Dad got on the phone first, and he said, "Dad," he said, "What's your New Year's resolution?" And he said, "Son, my New Year's resolution is to do every single thing possible all year long to make your mother happy." He said, "That is awesome. That is a great resolution." A little while later, he's talking to Mom, and he says, "Mom, what's your New Year's resolution?" She said, "My New Year's resolution is to make your dad keep his New Year's resolution." I thought that was funny. So like I said in the beginning, have you ever wished for a new start? Have you ever wished for a clean start? Even after you enter into a relationship with Christ, and sometimes it doesn't mean that you're going to become completely righteous and sinless and perfect. How many of us here truly believe that we need a new start? The truth is, I hope every hand goes up, because I believe there's always room for growth. You know, said in another way, there's always room for more resolutions and more change. Okay? The truth is, we need to make earnest resolutions. We need to make, you know, resolutions that actually have something behind them. You know, the only way to truly experience any true change is to take action. You know, it's not in my notes, but I will share this with you. You know, I've seen people in recovery get sober and change their life immediately. And I can tell you that happened for me. I had absolutely no plans of ever changing my life. I didn't need to meet God. Jesus wasn't lost. I didn't need to go find him. I was living my life happy as I could be the way I was living it. But God had different plans. And God came in my life and a drastic change took place. My conversion was different than some. In the beginning, it felt like I had like a what I call a burning bush conversion, where it just kind of happened slowly over time. It wasn't the burning bush. It wasn't something that happened just immediate. In the beginning, my conversion happened slowly. But that's because I was learning how to have a relationship with God. Unfortunately, it wasn't the true God. See, the truth is, I was learning how to have a relationship with a power in and of myself, that wasn't in and of myself, a power, you know, a higher power, as we termed it. What I needed was a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what happened was, Jesus Christ saved me, and it happened immediate, and it was profound.
Amen.
I was standing in a room, and I shared this the other night, first time I think I've shared in years, but we were standing in a Bible study that I had no intentions of being in. It's funny how God leads you places you don't want to go, but it turns out to be the best thing for you anyway.
Amen.
And I'm in this place, and there's this gentleman named Mike from South Africa, supposed to be a faith healer. Already you got me wigged out. I don't know nothing about faith healing, and you surely ain't going to lay hands on me. But we're in this place, and he asked if he could pray for someone else. There's another man in the group. So we said, sure. And you know, how many people have been in recovery meetings? Anybody? Okay, well, let me just tell you. In a recovery meeting, this is how they pray. They get in this large circle, they hold hands, and they recite the Lord's Prayer, and then they shake their hands, and they go, it works if you work it. So let me just tell you, that's the kind of prayer I'm expecting, because it's the only kind of prayer I got any kind of idea about. So I've never done any of these other kind of prayers that these people were about to do. All of a sudden, Mike says, we want to pray for this man. Everybody gather. We all gather. I walk up already holding my hands out because, you know, we're going to hold hands in a big circle. And somebody put their hand on me, and I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And then somebody put their hand on me down here, and I thought, that's even more weird. And then somebody placed their hand on me somewhere else, and I'm really getting nervous. And I got to tell you, I told my wife before service, I'm on this new inhaler, and it makes me feel nervous. I was so nervous that day with all these people touching me. This inhaler ain't got nothing on that. I was like kind of freaked out, like, what is going on? Why does everybody want to touch people? Like, we're just going to do this prayer, and all of a sudden, all these hands are touching me, and I'm like, what I want to do is run out the door as fast as I can and screaming like a banshee and never come back. But I got too much pride and ego for that. So I'm going to stand there like I know what's happening. And we stand there, and he leads us through essentially a prayer of salvation, where he says, Jesus, you know, we've sinned against you, and ask that you forgive us for sinning against you. And he leads us through this whole prayer, and we're all reciting the prayer. You see, in the Lord's Prayer, with the handshake thing, you recite it out loud. So I just naturally did what he did. He was praying out loud, I followed him. We do this prayer, and the only way I can describe it sounds crazy to anybody outside these four walls at this moment, but I truly felt like my body had been lifted. I felt like I wasn't touching the floor.
Yes, yes.
And I felt, the only way I know to describe it, was like this massive, like cool, and when I say cool, not cold, but this cool rush of like wind, like just burst from my chest, and I knew, I did not know what happened, but I knew something happened.
Yes.
And when the prayer was over, I walked over to David Berthold, the guy that we know, and I said, David, if I said that prayer and I meant that prayer, what does that mean? And he said, you don't know? I said, no. And he said, isn't it funny when you're the last one to figure it out? I said, what? He says, man, come over here and I want you to ask Mike the same thing. So I went over and I said, Mike, if I said that prayer and I meant that prayer, what does it mean? He says, it means you've been saved. It means you need to get the heck out of here as fast as you can. And you need to run out that door and you need to tell everybody you know the good news of what God has done for you. God is just like that.
Amen.
God is just like that. My conversion at that moment, if that's what you want to call it, conversion, was swift and it was powerful. And it was something I'll never ever forget.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's just how God is. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 4, says, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. You know, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I promise you, your joy will be complete. You will be different. Something happens, something's different, and it's never the same. In order to experience true joy, not having guilt, God made a way for us to have a new start. He made a way for us to, excuse me, have a new start and have forgiveness even when we stumble and fall. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 9 says, this is the message we've heard from him and proclaim to you. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who here had a perfect 2016? Anybody? Was there anything that happened in 2016 that you didn't need, want, or like? Is there something that needs to be changed? Have you, maybe you're in here this morning and maybe you think your walk with Christ is as perfect as it can get. I got news for you. Something can need to be changed. There's something in you that God still has yet to do. Maybe you're sitting in here this morning and maybe at one point your walk with Christ was awesome. But like many of us, something happened, the world comes and work gets busy and this happens and the next thing you know, you miss church one Sunday, makes it easier to miss church the next Sunday, and the next thing you know, you hadn't read your Bible in 6 months. Your prayer time has dwindled down to nothing and now your relationship with God is skeptical at best. You claim him, but yet you don't really follow him the way you know you should. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and it's completely different. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and maybe you've never, ever taken the opportunity to formally ask him to be your Lord and Savior. I'm telling you here this morning, I don't care which category you fall in. Today is a day of new beginnings. Today is a day that you can come before Christ and your life can change from this day forward. You know, when we sin, we lose fellowship with God. Anybody here believe that they're going to go the next 365 days without sin? If you do, you're fooling yourself. So you know what? You're going to have sin in your life. You're not going to purposely go out and maybe do something horrible, but you know what? You're going to sin against God. That's just the way life is good. It's just the way it's going to be. We need to renew that hope that we have in him. We need to renew that joy that we have in him by spending more time with God. And I can tell you, as I said earlier about these verses being uncomfortable, I found myself making a New Year's resolution this morning, and I don't make them. And I ain't real happy about the one that I made. But I'll tell you what it is. I want God to show me the parts of his word that still make me uncomfortable. I want God to show me the parts of his word that I'm still not just perfect in doing. I promise you it's in there, and it's in there for each and every one of us. There's always room for growth. There's always room for something better. You know, do we have anyone here this morning who is brave enough to come forward and share about something that you need to be renewed, or maybe even possibly something that's been renewed? Is there anyone? I said this morning, when Tony asked for open mic moment, the crowds line up. When I do it, they hide. I don't know why that is. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I promise you, each and every single one of us could stand up here this morning and talk about something that we need made new. So I just encourage that you would take that before God today. Maybe you can't stand up here and take it before the congregation, but I encourage you to take that before God today. Because today is the day of new beginnings. And if something transpires tonight and you need to do it again tomorrow, God is always there.
Amen.
In a moment, we're going to pray. And the band is going to come forward. You're going to come up and do your announcements. After which, I ask the children to come back earlier. What I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to have communion together corporately. So let's pray. Father God, we just love you so much. We praise you for who you are. We just praise you that you're a God that not only, Lord, just believes in new beginnings, but God, you are the God of new beginnings. That Lord, nothing that we can ever do or come against is too big for you. That, Lord God, that regardless how far down the scale we fall, no matter how much of a mess that we make of our lives, that, Lord God, you will meet us right in the middle of our mess. And more importantly, Lord, that you refuse to leave us there.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me in my mess. Lord, I just pray this morning that as we as a congregation move through this new year, that we know we're going to have new challenges, that we're going to have new things to come against us. I can't help but think about our brother Rich this morning, who had a stroke recently, and he's going to have some new challenges this year. But my hope is renewed when I read the post from Tammy the other night that he's fighting back.
Amen.
And he's fighting back to regain use of the right side and whatever it is, Lord, that he's lost as a part of this stroke. But Lord God, we know that your name is bigger than the name of stroke.
Yes.
It's bigger than the name of cancer.
Yes.
It's bigger than the name of addiction.
Yes,
it's bigger than the name of difficulty.
Yes.
It's bigger than the name of pain. It's bigger than anything that the enemy could use against us.
Yes.
Lord, we know that your word says the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy.
Uh-huh.
But you come that we might have life abundantly.
Yes, yes.
So Lord, I just pray an abundant life over each and every one of us here this morning. I pray that you would help us to move forward this year. And Lord, just be kingdom soldiers. Move forward and sharing the good news of the gospel. So that others might know just how awesome and powerful and loving that you are.
Yes.
So Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for everything that you're doing in and through us, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I told Tony my message was going to be short, and he said, yeah, that's what you say all the time, and then you go an hour. Fooled you. You want to come forward with your announcements?
Can I have the mic?
Yes.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And we'll have communion in just a bit, but I have just a little bit of business, a few vignettes that I just wanted to share, and maybe have a couple people share this morning before we have communion. And thank you for your message, James, and I'm very grateful that we have a God that's about the business of making all things new.
Amen.
And I think the main point of James's message this morning is well taken, that I'm quite sure that for every single one of us, there's an area of our life that we need to consider. What does this look like? How do I enter into this working cooperation with God as I move toward newness in this particular area? So whatever that is. most of you know that we have a prison ministry here in the women's prison in Vandalia, Missouri. We have some prison workers. We go every single Thursday night to the women's prison. Then in the spring and the fall, we do a two-day conference. And then we also do the Christian services 6 Sundays a year at the prison. So 52 and 6 is 58. We were in the women's prison 62 different times this past year. So we initiated a new little vignette, and we have at the women's prison a basket that's called the Ask It Basket, and they put prayer requests in that Ask It Basket for our prayer team and our ministry team, and we've been praying over these requests, and we have the we're getting more requests than we have prayer warriors. So we talked to the women at the prison and agreed. So we have a new thing that we're doing that I want to share with you. Look at this. Can you see how many papers? Can you imagine? There's dozens of papers here. This is from last Thursday, Ask It Basket.
No, it's not. It's from 3.
Okay, 3. Thank you for the correction. It's still well taken. The point being there's a lot, okay?
It's from December 17th on.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we are making an Ask It Basket at the Outpost Church, and the women have agreed. They understand that this is a ministry of our church, and the people in our church will pray for them, and we want to invite our whole church into this prison ministry to be part of it. So if you're not going with us into the prison at this point, you can still participate, and these women are asking us to pray for them, okay? And just for the fun of it, they're saying, we're giving them the option. If you have a request that you don't want to go before the church, then you make a note on there. And then just the ministry team will know about your request. Most of them trust us and they want our church to pray. I'm going to read a couple just for the fun of it. If you would please pray for me to go home in February 2017 to be back to my family. God has blessed me by taking my drug addiction away from me. Thank you for your time. Please pray for my daughter. Her name is Darian. She has started doing hard drugs at the beginning of this year. Please pray for the salvation of Jason and restoration with Jason and my family, and for the safety of my daughters. Her name is Brandy. My name is Autumn. I'm going home in 29 days. I just ask that you pray for God to help me in my recovery and that His will be done in my life, no matter what it is, to just help me be okay with it, and that He let me reconcile with my children and their family, and that He saved my sister Kelly and my husband Chuck from their addictions and show them there is a better life, and that He make my baby brother Brandon healthy again and take his sickness away so he is not in pain and can just be my brother again. Please and thank you. Let's see, one more. Merry Christmas. Thank you guys for everything that you have done. I'm struggling with worry. I worry about everything. I'm not sleeping good because I worry. I don't know how to shut my brain down. Can you guys give me some advice, please? I pray a lot about it. Also, can you pray for my son, Brandon? I'm going to be going home in 66 days, and I'm freaking out. Can you please pray for me? Heather. Well, they go on and on and on. You can imagine. So what we said to the ladies, imagine that like there's a portal in time, so that when you put your prayer request, you write your prayer request, and you put it in the Ask It Basket in the prison, it appears in the Ask It Basket in our church. And then the members of our church, every Sunday, you're invited when you come before church, after church, during communion, if you will take one or two of these with you and mobilize our whole church to be praying for these women and their situations. Amen. It means a lot to them to know, to believe that there is a church family. We believe, see, we believe that there's two churches in this church. God has allowed us to start an outreach church in the prison of all places. You know, most of the time, our meetings in the prison are bigger than the meetings in this building. We have 60, 70, 80 women in these meetings. It's amazing. So it's like another congregation of our church. So this congregation's praying for that congregation, okay? But we mean business. So don't take this if you're not going to pray. Okay? If you take it, you're making a commitment to pray for this woman for that week. Amen. And then every week we're going to be updating this. Okay? So that's the Ask It basket. Steve or Jamie, do you want to say, add anything to what? Steve, you want to come up?
No, I don't need to come up.
Here, would you hand Steve this, Bob? Would you?
I just wanted to talk to the Trinity people, and if Trinity would be interested in participating in this, if there's somebody at Trinity, because I spend a lot of time with the Ask It basket. I go through it. I distribute it to our prayer team, and now I'm going to be distributing it to the church. I would love to distribute it, to send it to someone at Trinity, if you guys are interested in doing the same thing.
By email, he
means. By email, yeah. So then you would print it out and you would maybe do the same thing.
So Trinity Church can pray. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, amen. That was my thought.
Okay. Okay. Kathy, would you hand that? Oh, Jamie's going to say something.
So every week we have the women in the prison ask all the time for prayer, especially the ones that are going home soon. So if you get, if you pick up one and you notice that the woman is saying that she's going home, I mean, I would ask that you would just really pray protection over that woman, because they are... they're terrified, really, to leave that building, which is weird. You know, you'd think all they want to do is leave and go home, but the fact is that they're really terrified of the outside world, because in there they're kind of protected from themselves. But outside they have themselves to deal with again. So if you get one that says that they're going home soon, please pray for hedge protection around them.
That gal going home to an addicted husband and an addicted son has about a 0% chance of making it. And that's just what we've seen. She needs special prayer.
I was just thinking about what you
would
said.
Would you stand up and say your name?
Hi, I'm Kathy Gonzalez. I was just thinking how cool you were saying it's like a portal. And how cool would it be for us to put our prayer requests in that same basket and then link the two of us together, where we're not just praying for them, but they're praying for us.
Yeah, that might be an idea. So maybe we'll think about that. And
it's nice to be able to get outside of yourself and not think.
Right. Okay. Let's think about that. Maybe that's a great idea, Kathy. Plus, I'll take all the praying I can get. I don't care if you're incarcerated. Pray for me. Okay, well, that's our first vignette. And then, let me see where I start. There's several situations. Allison, do you want to say a word about, do you want to give a testimony?
Can I write it down and let you guys see it?
Okay, sure.
I'm still here in drains and I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. Would you? Can you just stand up so people see you? This is Allison.
I lived through it. I was afraid of dying, but I lived.
Okay. We prayed over Allison a couple weeks ago. She had breast cancer, double mastectomy, and reconstruction, and it could not have gone better. Very, very good report for her. So praise God.
Except they're really tiny still.
Okay. And blessings on you, Allison.
Wow.
Tammy, will you come up here?
Almost eight.
Where's the microphone? And I asked Tammy, will you give us a little report on Rich? She said, I'll see if I can make it through, so.
I have to come up here. Everybody else got to say report.
Yeah.
Latest.
It goes all the way up.
There we go. The latest is that on Thursday night, about 5 o'clock, the doctor came in and said we had finally gotten approval for Rich to make it to the rehab hospital.
Amen.
The biggest reason that that was such an urgent thing is because the first 2 months after a stroke are when the majority of any healing is going to happen, and so he's been there for 3 weeks, and so we're kind of at crunch time. And I had a sweet friend that told me yesterday, God's the redeemer of time, so we're not going to worry about those 3 weeks that we're not at the rehab hospital. He's doing very well. He's biting. It's wearing him out completely. He has to relearn everything. So he still can't speak, he still can't swallow, and he still doesn't have use of his right arm. But every day I see a spark in him. So he's got to learn how to speak. He has to teach himself how to swallow and literally teach his right side of his brain how to do everything that the left side of the brain used to do for him. So he appreciates all the prayers. I read everything you guys send to me to him. He cries a lot with that. The biggest thing I guess I could take from all this is I had a couple pray over me at work about a week ago, and literally it was just, I felt the Holy Spirit just in my body, like consume me. And this is a spiritual battle, you know, like the enemy's trying to destroy my husband, but God is the healer of all, and I'm trusting that. And he's a child of the living King, and so I'm trusting that as well. So we will see victory, and I do believe that one day Rich will be up here and speak his testimony to all of you.
Amen.
Stand right there. Come late. Let's lay hands on Tammy. Can we lay hands on you? I want to say a prayer for her and Rich, okay? Whoever wants to lay hands on her. Angela, will you come and play? Father in heaven, God, we're so grateful for the progress that Rich has made. We thank you, God, that you're restoring health and wholeness and correction and healing and redemption in his physical body.
Thank you.
Lord, we pray for these areas of need, as Tammy has voiced here, that the right side of his brain would learn what it needs to learn.
Yes.
God, we pray that that movement to his right arm would be restored, the ability to speak, the ability to swallow so he can begin to eat again.
Yes.
Lord, that the feeding tube would be removed from his stomach. We pray you would touch his physical body, cause there to be health and wholeness and healing within him. I pray his doctors and nurses and the people working with him in rehab would have wisdom on how to work with him, that he would do the work, Lord, that he would be empowered and energized,
yes,
and motivated to work hard. And we pray, oh God, that there would be achievement and forward progress and accomplishment and success. God, and as James has shared with us here this morning, that you are a God who is about the business of making all things new, Lord.
Yes.
So we ask for this newness in the context of Rich's physical body.
Yes.
We ask for newness for Tammy and Rich in their marriage, in
yes,
their home,
yes,
Lord. And we put our hope in you. We surround these guys with our love, with our faith, with our prayers, with our blessings, and we ask for your blessings over them, oh God, the blood of Jesus over them, the light of God, the healing of God, the blessings of God. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Tammy. We love you. Send our love to Rich. Chris Bishop, where's Chris? Chris, will you come up? Do you want to share? And then if you want to lead the prayer.
Yeah. Okay. I guess just one more prayer request for us. Someone who works for me, her name's Jacinda Eaton. Her daughter, Maddie, has been missing since Friday night. She called them to let her know that she was going to be working just a little bit late. They went to pick her up from work, and she wasn't there. And
she's 16.
Yeah, she's right about Catherine's age. I don't know exactly how old, but... So anyway, I told her that our body would would lift them up, and hopefully Maddie will be found. So, Lord, just thank you, God, for being in control. And I just pray that you be with the Eatons right now, all of them. Just give them in a peace, give them peace in a time where they're feeling anything but peace that surpasses all understanding, God, that only comes from you. God, I just pray that that's where their trust and their hope and their faith goes, is right into you, Lord. And I just pray that you watch over and protect Maddie, and just help them find her, God. Just let her come home. Lord, we love you, and we just leave this situation in your hands. Pray this all in your name. Amen.
I just want to add to that prayer. Father, we agree, we mingle our faith, and I just feel impressed to just pray against the darkness. Light is greater than darkness. Light always chases away the darkness. Whatever is conspiring against this young lady that's from the darkness, evil, darkness, devils, demons, spirits of self-harm, or any weird sex stuff, any weird drug stuff, just anything that's inappropriate, Lord. We pray for an explosion of the light of God in her situation, that light would come forward against darkness, that angels would be released from heaven to come forward against devils. Lord, that freedom would be released to come against bondage and strongholds and captivity. You know where this girl is, God.
Yes, you do.
You know where she is. You see her in this moment. I pray that angels from heaven would be dispatched to be around her, God.
Yes, Lord.
And that the angels would be mightier and stronger than the devils from hell.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I know. I've seen it. I've heard it with my ears, that the devils and demons shrink when God shows up. They shriek when God shows up. So, Lord, I pray you would come forward in this situation in a mighty, powerful way. I pray, God, that you bring this girl home, Lord. We pray that she would be rescued physically and spiritually. Lord, that you would bring her home, and we agree together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one more kind of technical announcement. I want to mention, we normally have a Valentine's Day banquet here in our church. And what we're doing this year, we're doing something a little bit different. We're renting a restaurant. It's the Rack House in Cottleville. And they've got a room. They can seat about 60 people, which will be about as many couples as we have. So in other words, about 30 couples. It's $25 per person, so that'll be $50 per couple. If the money is an issue that causes anybody not to be able to come, we'll try to figure something out. If anybody here is blessed, where you could offer a partial scholarship or maybe pay for a couple who is struggling, if you would consider that. So if you're interested, let us know. I think our goal this year is to minimize work, so we decided to outsource it, do it somewhere else, so we can just have a good time. And I should have this wrote down. The 14th, I think, is a Tuesday. Is that right?
Yes.
So we're doing it the Saturday night. It's not Valentine's Day night, so I think it's going to be February 11th. What is the Saturday? Does anybody have a calendar?
Saturday, I mean, look.
So it's the 11th. Okay. So if you want to be with us for Valentine's Day, that's what we're doing. Are we going to have serve communion corporately? Okay. Do you want to come back and lead that? Okay. God bless you guys. We're going to have communion.
So I wanted us to celebrate communion together this morning. So if you could just come forward, take the elements back to your seat, and once everyone is seated, I'll come back up and we'll have communion together. Welcome to come forward.